Master, speak and let your servant hear, for we would ask it in your great and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. It's good to be able to come and share with you this morning. It seemed to me when I was reading through these scriptures that the passage that spoke out to me was when Paul said, "Then what baptism did you receive?" And you would, having been an Anglican for a long time, would know that sometimes you can go to churches where there's nothing much mentioned about the Holy Spirit, sometimes even less about repentance. But I thought, the baptism of Jesus reminds us of the baptism that we need ourselves. And look who the baptizer is from our first reading. You know, God created the heavens and the earth. I think that's just an amazing sight. And the bigger they understand the universe, the bigger my God gets. I don't know about yours. If you think about it, you know. First of all, we had a solar system, then we had a galaxy, you know, then we had lots of galaxies, and now we have heaven knows what else beyond. To me, it just shows how great our God is. And we each walk with our God at different levels, but we do know that our God is the God who loves us. And as he loves us, he wants us to learn from him. That's why when Paul arrives at Ephesus, a multicultural type city, quite a crossroads in what we now call Asia Minor. If you all know where Greece is and you go east across the water, you'll hit Ephesus, which I think is Turkey. I'm not sure. Good, thank you. Yes. Yeah. So it's in Turkey there is where you'll find it. And it's basically on the west coast. And it was a very important city for the Roman people as well, like the great Roman Empire. But when he gets there, he meets this group of disciples. And he asks them, didn't ask them when if they were born again, but asks them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "The what?" You know, it was some, you know, "The what? What's this Holy Spirit stuff?" I know as a child, we never got taught anything very much about the Holy Spirit at church. I don't know about you guys. There's been a wonderful flowering since the 70s in the Anglican Church in that respect. Didn't mean God wasn't working and didn't mean that you didn't experience God. Well, I hope not anyway. But it just meant that he was a background player in what was going on. But we've come to see that there is so much more to God. A bit like our expansion of the universe, there is so much more to God than some of the things that we've learned already. There are things that we can grow into. And we can see that like any baptism, don't you remember your three baptismal vows? I turn to Christ. I repent of my sins. I renounce evil. Well, that was the old version. I think there's an extra bit in the new one. I'm not sure. I think we renounce the devil and all his works, which is kind of the gospel, that the message that both John the Baptist and Jesus preached: repent of your sins, turn to God. What's repentance? Thinking again, actually thinking like God. But in this passage here, when Paul asks, "What baptism did you receive?" they said, "Well, John's baptism, yeah, we're born again, we've turned to the Lord." Oh, there's more to it than that, more than just repentance. Because John's baptism was only about the Jewish repentance, wasn't it? Coming back, you know, doing the right thing, doing what should be done. There wasn't the trust in Jesus. And he's the one that puts a stamp on a heavenly passport, if I could put it that way. And we turn to Christ. He goes, "Welcome, my child." And this baptism that he gives us a deeper understanding of him and of God's love. Even though I didn't know about the Holy Spirit, I remember when I turned to Christ First thing I wanted to do, which was totally different from me, was I wanted to go to church. You know, it was quite strange. Up to then it was, oh, okay, I'll go. You know, how, don't know if you've ever, I'm sure none of you are in that situation. You've always wanted to go to church. You know? Okay, I'll go. But now it's, hey, when are we going? Let's go. Let's go worship God. So the Holy Spirit was obviously moving in my life, even though I didn't know what it was. And sometimes the reason I ask that question is sometimes we can get back to John's baptism. What baptism did you receive? Are you still living the good life but not really trusting the Lord? We will sort that out at confession, okay? Comes later in the service. But it's true, isn't it? You know, sometimes you can get in a rut. Whereas God has so much more for us, we need to be open to what God wants to do. And if you look at our gospel reading, shows that, I mean, nowhere in the Old Testament is heaven rent and does a Holy Spirit come down like a dove. And if you're a Jew, you could say that wasn't very biblical. But God is, our Bible shows what has happened and what can happen. God is a God of surprises, a God who enables things to happen. And Jesus comes for baptism. I don't know, in the other versions, the other Gospels, John argues with him and says, you should be baptizing me, I shouldn't be baptizing you. But Jesus says, no, we've got to do it the right way. And then we have that wonderful experience of, yeah, heaven coming open and in a way that made this clear that Jesus was the Son of God, the beloved Son of God, comes down from heaven, you know. And we don't use the term awful anymore in the way that it used to be meant. I think the term we would use today is awesome. But awful, in its original sense, was full of awe. You know, wow. I don't know, I was picked up on that because in one of the things when I was younger, the important, we used to use terrible as a good word. You know, and like, I think surfers use wicked, don't they? Was a you know. And the words have sort of changed meaning, sort of, oh, isn't that wicked? Meaning fantastic, whereas he's sort of going, oh, no. Yeah. And awful, the same thing has happened, but awesome gives the impression that it's a wonderful, awesome event. And Jesus was doing what he knew his Father wanted him to do. You think if he hadn't have been baptised, if he had said, no, I'm all right, I've got it all together, you know. Now, you never hear a bloke say that, ever. I don't need a map, I know where I'm going. But Jesus wanted to obey the Father. He wanted to allow this to happen. And it certified, if you like, the sense that he really was God's Son, with whom he was very well pleased. I love that verse. I don't know, what would be a way of saying, how do we say that we are well pleased today? Jolly good? Valuable. Proud of you. Like it. Thank you. It's all right. Yeah, you're my son of whom I'm proud. Isn't that fantastic? And that's what he wants to say of each of us, isn't it? You are my children. I'm proud of you. Now, the baptism we receive, more than John's baptism, I might be a little bit untheological and say, I think it might be a little bit less than Jesus' baptism. Because he was kind of had a little bit more than we did. But it's certainly way up there because as we seek to follow our God, seek his Spirit day by day, seek to say, Master, what's on today? What are we going to do today? That we come to know his Spirit and the fullness. It's amazing how we change over our lifetime and the different things that we come to expect. But our God always has things for us, sometimes to encourage us, sometimes to challenge us. But he seeks for us to be continually seeking the fullness of his Spirit. I don't know if the teachings about it is true, but we're once told that, you know, the baptism is like, you know, having water poured on you or, you know, you get full of the Spirit. But apparently we're leaky. You know, we ask for the spirits to come in and then we go out and then it can tend to dwindle away unless we keep our I guess that's like any relationship, isn't it? You know, if you don't keep in touch with a person, say, oh, good, lovely to see you, well done, and then you walk off, and if unless you keep in contact, the relationship tends to dwindle. And that's what it's like with our God and with the Holy Spirit. He desires to keep us full of his presence and full of his power. You may have experienced that yourselves, the way God can do things in our lives. You can see here when these disciples in Ephesus were baptized, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Fantastic. Can recommend it. Speaking in tongues enables you to build yourself up, kind of like your own personal trainer, except spiritual personal trainer, as opposed to keeping physically fit, mentally fit. And prophecy is the church's personal trainer. It's where we can share with one another God's love, where we can speak out what God wants to say, and it's to build up the church. They're important gifts. All the gifts are important. Sometimes those gifts come in interesting packages. We don't all speak in tongues. We don't all prophesy. We're not all good cooks. We're not all good at brass cleaning. If I was to clean the brass, there'd be fingerprints everywhere. We're all gifted in different ways, but for the good of all of us. I would encourage you to seek God's gifts this year, how he would have you grow. What baptism have you received? Let's make it the best baptism possible. Let us pray. Father, help us to deepen our experience of you, to receive that wonderful baptism in the Holy Spirit. Lord, may you move in us in new and different ways this year, so we can hear you say, I'm proud of you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.